You know, with some people you can just depend on and you can count on. And being in God's house and being faithful to God, and I can count on you. And I know if something happened, if you're not here, you're either sick, or maybe you might be visiting family that's out of town. But hardly ever, I've seen you just be missing church. I believe you love the house of the Lord, and I thank you for that. The Lord, not only do I, but the Lord Jesus Christ, he also thanks you for that. This evening, for a few minutes, I want to look at in the book of Galatians, and I want to look at some things right here where Paul is writing to the Galatian church and the Galatian people. He's writing to the Christians, and I thank the Lord that when he was on that road toward Damascus, and when he heard that voice from heaven, and came, that voice took him and struck him down. He went straight down and he hit the ground. And when he hit the ground, and when he come back up, he stood up. He stood up a new creature. He stood up as a new servant unto the Lord. And after he stood up, he said one thing that I believe that, you know, if we had more people today, and I know they did in the past, and I know you probably have even heard some of the preachers of the past to testify to the fact that they would say, well, Lord, what do you want me to do? Which it was 8-9 months before the Lord ever spoke to me and about preaching, and I just run from him for 12 months about that time, or a little long or something like that. And I said, Lord, I says, not me. Not me. All that I come to do, I just come to get saved. And you didn't say anything about if I come and get saved and I accepted you as my Lord and Savior, that you was going to ask me to preach. And asked me to teach a Sunday school class. You never asked me that. See, he's not going to ask you that. See, first of all, he wants to lock you into his family. And today I can see where that there's a whole lot of people out here saying that they're Christian. They ain't no Christian. They ain't never been saved. Because I know that there's not two Christ I hear, or two Lords I hear that will save people. I know that the same Lord that saved my soul, he's not going to save someone else's soul and give them a different desire to be in God's house. Because he's given us the word. It's some things that we don't have to pray for, because it plainly tells us as Christians what we must do. Now, one of them can be on tithing. I mean, the Word of God tells us directly what we must do. And we must not just stop at the tithing, we must give the offering also. I mean, that's in God. We don't have to pray and ask God, so God, would you allow me to be able to give a little more money? You know, and at times we do get in situations where we end up losing our job or something like that, but the tithes is not always is speaking of the monetary, speaking of the dollar. It's sometimes it's speaking, and I think it does more times than it does the dollar. It's speaking of he wants our life. He wants us to serve him. There's 168 hours in a 7-day period. 168 hours, 24 hours a day. You can figure it any way you want to, and you will not come up less. You will not come up any more. That's what God has set aside. And I've seen where men of old have took the word of God and come about with three services that is set aside for the Christians. But that right there is not, that's not biblical. And what they're saying, that's not biblical. Yes, we're supposed to rest on the seventh day. We're supposed to rest on Sunday. And when I get up here, when I preach on Sunday, that's what I'm doing. I'm resting. And I don't get up here and I don't preach and I don't go home during the week and I don't prepare and I don't study and I don't do that so the church can end up giving me some monetary goods. Because that's a day of my worship. That's the way, that is my day that I set aside to where I can worship the Lord. But he's also given us six other days. And I know, I believe it's the seventh day of Venice. They take Saturday. They say that that's their day of rest. If they in church on that particular Sabbath, which is on a Saturday morning, you cannot get them to do anything that day at all. They ain't going to go out here and work. They're not going to go out here and do the same things that we would do on a Saturday. And it should be vice versa, that we should not do things on Sunday that we do on Saturday. We should always recognize that the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the one. And he is the only one that we must give thanks to. And I think really today, people, you see it today in all walks of life. But that's the reason you don't see many people anymore. When you go out, when you eat, and you allow them to take time, a moment, they'll pray over the food. And they'll pray so low that they're embarrassed or whatever. They're embarrassed about the Lord. They embarrassed because the Lord has blessed them so much. They embarrassed because the Lord has saved our soul. I'm not embarrassed. I'm not embarrassed. And I'm not going to sit there and I'm just not going to say grace over my food under my breath. He's given us the opportunity to pray to where other people can hear us. Now some people say, well, you're not supposed to pray that way. Well, Paul sometime prayed that way. We as individual, we need to remember a few things too. That we as Christians, that we should not worry about what someone else thinks. We always should be worried about what the Lord thinks. Because he's the one that I'm trying my very best to please. And it's taking everything that I can now today, in the day and time that we're living, to please the Lord, especially out here in the world, because of so much sin is out here in the world. But it says right here in chapter 5, in verse 22 and 23, we can see where he can tell us what we can learn. What we can learn from the Word of God. We know, first of all, that it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. I think right here, right now, I believe that he's speaking about, Paul, speaking about the fruit of the Spirit is love. I think we can digest that and look at it and we'll see that where God first loved us. God first loved us with the fruit that he has, to give out. Everything that we have, he gives out from his own self. The second thing, we see the word joy there. When I ask Jesus to save my soul, I tell you one thing, the angels in heaven rejoiced. They will rejoice over one sinner coming to know the Lord. Because we have scripture for that. They will come and rejoice over that lost sinner. Rejoice will bring joy. How many of you come to the house of God? I do all the time. I mean, I'm so glad that I can be here. And I don't take it for granted. Because I know this past week that when I fail and when I hit the pavement, that a whole lot more damage could have been done. And I could end up in the hospital. But I'm so thankful that I had the Lord also with me. And when the Lord was with me, he helped me. And when I fell and when I hit the ground, it hurt. Yeah, it hurt. And it's nothing that we don't ever do for the Lord that's not going to bring a pain to you. A tear. Because we all have loved ones. I've got loved ones right now. Oh yes, they claim to be a Christian. They claim to be saved. They can give you a particular date and everything way back when they was 18, 19 years old and they got saved and they went to church there for a year or two and they belonged to a church. Well, the thing about it, I look at it this way. If you got saved when you was 18, 19 years old, and if you was in church then, what's wrong with the fact of today? Why ain't they still in church? Why ain't they still in church? It's because they don't have the desire. They don't have the desire in the heart to please the one that saved them. And I overanalyze things and sometimes I even question if they're saved or not. It's like I'm judging them. I'm not judging. I'm going by what God's Word says. And and Paul, in Paul's writings. Now, Paul wrote 13 of the New Testament books that he has got his name on, that he says he's the author of that book. But yet, there's one book in here that has no name on it. But all the writings and the way it's written out and everything, it points back to Paul. It points back to some things that Paul said in some of his writings. And that, I believe Paul, if David loved God as much as he said he did, and he sinned against God, he slept and he had people killed. He would not even go to the front line. He sent his other men to the front line to fight the battle. To me, that's a type of cowardice. But it says later on, after that and everything, that David asked the Lord God Almighty to return unto him the joy for what? Salvation? He said the joy of my salvation. Because that right there tells me one thing. Before he sinned against God, he had joy in his heart. He was overflooded with joy. And he was overflooded with love. And overflooded with meekness and all of that. And long suffering and peace and all. But he had lost that fellowship that he had with God when he sinned against God. But Paul, in Paul's writings, and they said, well, you can't believe that. You know, you take somebody as mean as Paul was out here, and he went out and he had the church persecuted, and he had the churches burned down, and he had some of the Christians in the church, they was killed, and he had them ordered killed. Says, you can't tell me that somebody like that can change overnight, can change like that. And I said, yes, it can. I says, have you ever read the Bible? Yes, I've read a portion of it. I said, what a portion of it? What portion did you read? You have to read it all. I says, and I said, you're taking verses out of context. We have to read it in the time that it was written. We have to understand that it was written in a particular time, and the individual lived in a specific time. And that's the way we must look at it. I said, but just think about it. And really, we need to think about it tonight. That the Lord Jesus Christ, He first loved us, right? Not only that, He was the first one that experienced the joy. Not only that, He's the first one that experienced the peace of His Father and the long suffering and the gentleness and the goodness and the faith of His Father. See, He experienced all of these things from His Father. And yet, He passed it on down to us. He said, the fruit of the Spirit. He says, now if you're saved, then you have the Spirit of God living within you. He takes up an abode within you. He lives within your heart. He teaches you what you need to know. He guides you in the places that He wants you to go. And He will remove the stumbling blocks that where Satan puts in us every step. But we must follow Him. And that's the reason we must follow the Lord Jesus. We must not say, well, I'm going on, Lord. Now, you can come on, you can follow me. What's going to happen? If I start out first and the Lord's following me, and when Satan right there, when the devil right there, when he brings around a bat trap or bring down an old log tree down, and it does not get my attention, then what's going to happen? I'm going to stumble. I'm going to fall. Why am I going to stumble and fall? Because I've asked the Lord to follow me. We should never ask the Lord to follow me. We should always ask the Lord to lead us and to guide us and direct us in the right direction. And if we'll do that, then we don't have to worry about all these other things that comes about. I know deep in your heart that you have, each one of you have a desire there to see this church grow. But you want me to tell you one that has a deeper desire than all of us if we just come together and pray in one accord? Is the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, you say, well, and if the Lord Jesus Christ, if He wants the church to grow, well, why can't He allow some more people to come in? Well, it could be something in my life. Could be something in another individual's life. That we just need to say, Lord, remove it from me. Paul said, crucify me. Paul said, crucify him. He asked the Lord God Almighty to crucify him what? Not just at one time when he got saved, but he said, crucify me daily. And when he crucified him daily, he crucified him in what he was about to do. Because he wanted him to go out with a pure heart. He wanted him to go out with a pure thought. He wanted him to go out with a pure love and a pure peace and a pure joy. That's what God is all about, is purity. It's nothing. Nothing at all that I know of that I can ever come up and say against the Lord Father. I can't say nothing against Him. Because He's been more to me than I ever expected. And just like I've told y'all time and time before, when I got saved, I didn't know anything about the book. I didn't know anything about this Bible. I didn't know anything that I must read from a King James Bible. I didn't realize that really, after I got saved, I needed to become a member of some church. But the reason that I became a member of Brush Harbor Baptist Church, the reason I'm a member of the Baptist Church, it's not because of what the Bible teaches. It's because of what the Bible stands on. Today, I don't know what church I'd join if I was to just get saved today. And if I didn't know. Because today that you have pastors always today. Yeah. I know you can sing. Come on, you sing for us. Come on, get in the choir. Hey, they'll do anything they can to get the numbers up on the choir. They'll do everything they can to get the numbers on the board to go up instead of down. Now, Brother Bill, he told me that y'all used to have a number, a board up there. Well, I'm glad you don't. Because what that does is that tells the people about, well, you know, he brought a good message. And I know what he believes. And I believe all the people down there believe the same way. But how in the world are they going to make it on what little money's coming in? That's all people want to know. That's what a whole lot of pastors want to know. How can we make it with no income coming in at all? God owns it anyhow. God owns Virginia Bank and Trust. God owns, used to be People's Bank. God owns all these banks. God owns it all. God owns this building. God owns my automobile. He owns my car. And I must trust the Lord in what He has given me that He is able to use it. And if I trust Him in using it, I know the Lord's going to always bless. He always has. There's a number of different occasions in the Bible where He tells us. That if you'll just give me this. Give me that. I'll bless it tenfold. He will. He will bless it to tenfold. I have heard preachers say that, and these were some godly men too. Matter of fact, one of them is, he was with the Hudson Baptist Church down in Hudson, North Carolina. And he's the one that come up and started the drama and everything to where I looked all over heaven for you. But you know something, he said, and he told me, and he told Brother James also. He's told other people the same thing. He said, you know, I can go to a smaller church. And I'll get more out of them. He said, I'm not speaking about money. I'm speaking about the prayer life. I'm speaking about the yes. I know that if I can ask the church to pray for me, then the church will pray for me. He said he's been up in mountains, up in West Virginia, in the coal mining country, way up in the mountains, driving that bus that he had at that time. It was a trailway bus. And he would be driving that Trailway bus, and he'd be going up a mountain to the church. When he get to the top of the mountain where the church was at, it wouldn't be but just a handful of people. He said he's been in churches that where it wasn't before, or five people there when I got there. And that's all they have. But I did not complain. Didn't none of the individuals that came and put on the drama, they didn't complain either. They was blessed. Each one of the individuals was blessed by God. Because why? Because they done what God wanted them to do. Now, if God asked me to go out here, if I did to do something, and I said, "Well, Lord, right now I just don't feel able to do it. I mean, Lord, you know my ribs are killing me. I mean, they hurt so much, and I just can't get out and go. I just got to wait a little while longer." I've had that voice in my head to come back to me and say, "Donnie,
who are you serving? Are you serving yourself or are you serving me?" And if he ever asked you that question, and if he ever asked you that, what do you come back and what can you say? I can say, I always come back and I say, "Well, Lord, you know, I'm sorry for what I said. And yes, I had my cell phone on my mind that I wasn't able to do it because of an accident I had, that I failed, and and hurt my ribs on my left side and my right side, and they hurt when I walk or when I step up and down, or when I even try to breathe, or when I cough, it hurts so to the point." And I said, "Lord," I said, "you know, I don't want to go to someone's home and visit them, and then all of a sudden that I'll start coughing or something like that, and I'll have to grab my side." He'd always come back. It's no question we can go to God for that God does not have an answer for it. And if we think we can go to God and we ask God a question, he's going to justify it. We're sadly mistaken. Because he is God. He's the one that knows all things. He's the one that's all powerful. He's the one that's everywhere. He's the one that created these bodies. He's the one that's placed these ribs within my body. He's the one that gives me the strength to where I can be able to stand up here today. He created everything that you see. He created this microphone. He created this. He created the plates, right? The offering plate. He created the pews. It's not nothing in this building that you cannot look at that God did not have a hand in. God had a hand in it. Oh yes, God uses people to get his work done. And I don't know how many of you, and I'm not bragging one bit. But over at Timber Lake Baptist Church, we used to go over there When we started out real small. In the fire department up on Wellstower Drive. Was that one Sunday, and the next Sunday we'd be over here, and the next Sunday we'd be over there. But see, the Lord blessed it. And the people was always coming up and saying, talking to the pastor that was there, and he had never surrendered to it. And the people was asking him all the time. Said, would you just help us? Would you just help us to form a church? We don't know how to go about forming one. And I hadn't been saved all that many years. And we met the next Sunday. We met, and Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock, at a fire station up on 58. And the preacher, he'd been praying all week after the people was on him about taking it and everything, and then taking it full time. And at that time, it was probably maybe 30, 35 there. And at that time, when we was taking up the offering and the tithes and the offering, that was taking up the money and everything, they was depositing it the next day into the bank, into a banking. They'd already opened up a checking account, and they'd open it up there. Well, at the end of the service, each service we've had, we hadn't been meeting for about a month. And he had never done this before. And he had never done it at the other church that we was at Brush Arbor before Brush Arbor run him away. And that's another story in itself. I'm not going to get into that because a whole lot went on there, but he never did do this there. Then even though when Timberlake was formed and when Timberlake Baptist Church come about, he never did do it there either. But when they come up and when they brought the money that they collected that afternoon, they come back up and they laid it right there. They set it right there on a chair. It was right there in the front. And the preacher, his name was Brother Jimmy Pruitt. I don't know if y'all ever knew him or not. Brother Jimmy Pruitt, I'll tell you what, I learned a whole lot from him. A whole lot. He asked the deacons that he had where the people that was taking up the offering. At the time, we didn't have no deacon, because we hadn't formed a church. Because at the time, he hadn't done it. And that's who they wanted. That's who everybody wanted. He says, "Yeah, how about y'all going back in the back and counting what money come in?" And when he did, he laid a piece of paper up here on the podium. That had a specific number on it. When they went back and they counted the money, and they brought it back up and they set it right there in the chair again. And they brought the piece of paper that they had. And he took both pieces of papers and he mashed them together. Did you realize within $30. Same amount, just within $30. He said, this is the amount of money that I've been praying for. I said, Lord, you know that we cannot just go on and just start a work that just started without no money at all. I need to know how faithful the people is going to be in giving. And if they really want a church. He showed us all the paper. Well, he showed me and some of the other people after the church, after service and everything, they wanted to see it. The $30 difference was above his that he had wrote down. Because he wrote it down, he signed it. And he said, you know, I've had a number of y'all to ask me about what I think about being the pastor. And he says, yeah, God confirmed it today. See, God will confirm it. But we have to go to Him. And we have to say, Lord, I just want you to do something. I mean, you know, I believe the Lord just wants us to just say, Lord, we as Faith Baptist Church, we need your help. We need your help for this body of people to grow to where we can have more monetary goods or more, or whatever you want to call it, come in to where we can take on more missionaries. And we don't have to worry about scrambling for this amount. And we don't have to worry about, are we going to have enough at the end of the month to pay all the bills? And I want to thank the Lord for that. I mean, we've met each and every bill every month. I don't know of anything that has went aside that we forgot about and we said we just didn't have any money to pay it. And if it wasn't brought to my attention. But see, the Lord will meet the people's obligation. And that's just not within the church. He will meet your obligation at home also. He will meet my obligations at home also. But first of all, he's got to be first. He's got to be number one, not number two or not number three. Number one. And I thank the Lord that I had some men and I had some preachers and some pastors to tell me that and to ground me into that. That I needed it. And I needed it. I thank the Lord for that. Because I tell you what, if it wasn't some of the men and some of the pastors that I had that taught me some of the things that they taught me, I don't think I would believe and do the things that I try to do today. Hey, it's not about me anymore. I know that I'm saved by the grace of God. I don't worry about if my name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. I don't worry about that. I won't go home tonight and get in my bed, which I won't get into bed because of my ribs, but unless the Lord allows me. But I'll probably get in my recliner. But I will not even close my eyes tonight and go to sleep and worrying about if something was to happen during the night. That my wife or my daughter may come in and find me in a coma or something like that. I don't worry about that. At one time I did. At one time I worried myself to death about if I was going to have a heart attack, because I got so big at that time. I was scared of having a heart attack. And then when people started having cancer, people, I don't know what it is, but it seems like that it's always a stream of things. You'll hear somebody have a heart attack, and the next thing you know, you'll hear that somebody else has had a heart attack. And you'll hear somebody else. But then it won't be long that you hear somebody that you thought that they was in the perfect health and everything, that they got cancer. And then they end up going to the doctor about it. And the doctor says, well, there's nothing more we can do. It's too far gone. I don't worry about things like that. I don't. Because I'm a winner. I am a winner. If I stay here, He's blessed me for another day. And I'm a winner of that. And then if He takes me home, I'm blessed. I'm also a winner. We cannot lose as Christians. Christians cannot lose. But the only way they can lose, if they come into the house of God, then come to the altar and they say yes and all it. I think a whole lot of them, they just come and say it just to be saying it, to get people off of the back. Well, you know, you can say it all you want to. And you can come to the altar as many times as you want to. And I can hear people cry out, Lord, save me. Lord, do something for me. But you know something? In saying all of that, they can come as many times as they want to. And when they do, they're coming up here and they're saying, we'll back out to the automobile after church and everything. They won't come out and say it. They won't say it to the wife or the family, nothing like that. They'll say it to themselves in their mind and their heart. I fooled the preacher by just going up. You can fool the preacher. You can fool the whole church. But you ain't gonna fool God. God knows it. I mean, I feel so good right now. I mean, I feel like I could preach another hour, but I'm not. I'm not, because I know you want to get home and everything. But I tell you, I just love Him tonight. And as much as I love Him, I love each and every one of you the same way. Because I think that's what the Lord wants us to look at. He wants us to share His love with other people. And how can we share His love? We must have to experience it, right? And once we experience His love, then we can share it with other people. Father, we thank You, Lord Jesus, for this day. We thank You for the services we had this morning, Lord. And Father, we thank You for this service this afternoon.
And Father, I know, Lord, that I went a little over tonight. But Father, I believe, Lord, it's what that you wanted me to say. So Father, I'm not going to apologize for what I said. Only thing that I can apologize for is for being too long-winded. Maybe I could have condensed it down to the point that I could have got through sooner. But Lord, you know me better than I know my own self. And you know when I get to talking about you and talking about your love, that Father, I don't know what it is. I just love you so much that I cannot shut up. And Father, we want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. Thank you for the service we had tonight. And we pray, Father, that you will be with these people this night. Give them all a good night's rest this tonight, Father, and the rest of this week. And Father, where we can meet back here the next appointed time, which is Wednesday. Father, we thank you. And Lord, we just want to just praise your wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.